Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lakeen. I'm doing a series of interviews focused on strategies for progressives called What Do We Do Now? We have Trump occupying the White House, Republicans controlling the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, and half the state governments. Republicans have the votes to push their agenda through Congress. Unfortunately, that agenda includes attacks on health care, a woman's right to choose, climate action, all that and more. Additionally, the foundations of our democracy are under attack, with Russians interfering in our election and pushing fake news, a president hostile to the freedom of the press, and Republicans actively working to suppress the vote. So, what do we do now? Today we have two guests to help us think about strategies for action to protect programs we value and indeed protect our democracy itself. Our guest for the first half hour is Gonzalo Martinez de Vedia, one of the leaders of Indivisible, one of the most effective centers for resistance to the terrible legislation coming out of Congress. Our guest for the second half hour will be Christopher Johns, an international businessman, philanthropist, movie producer, and activist for social change who has some fascinating insights into the Trump business dealings internationally and what's really going on. Our first guest, Gonzalo Martinez de Vedia, is a contributor to the Indivisible Guide and policy manager with the Indivisible Project in Washington, D.C., where he helps demystify Congress for the over 5,000 Indivisible groups across every congressional district in the country. Previously, he advocated for the rights of workers, immigrants, and survivors of human trafficking through non-governmental organizations in upstate New York and Washington. Gonzalo was born and raised in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Gonzalo Martinez de Vedia, welcome to All Together Now. I so appreciate you taking the time because I know you're busy running the national resistance to the Trump regime here, so thanks for being with us.
It's been a busy start of the year, and I would say, you know, I'm nobody's boss. It's a very widespread movement of people that are leading in their own communities.
Yeah, which I think is the great beauty. I don't think in my life I've seen so many people step forward to be active politically. It's actually, I think it's the upside of having Trump in the White House.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
So for our listeners who don't know, let's talk a little bit about this Indivisible Guide that your group has produced. And I should say to start off, I believe that the work you're doing and your group there with Indivisible is the single most important thing happening in the United States right now in terms of, you know, defending our country, defending our programs, defending our values, and really kind of stopping the worst of what is coming down on us right now. It's a fantastic guide. So tell our listeners a little bit, what is the Indivisible Guide that has everyone talking?
Yeah, I mean, the Indivisible Guide really came out of that question that we opened the program with, you know, what do we do now? I think a lot of folks know a few days after the election, as a lot of us were beginning to grapple with the implications of the Trump administration, there was a proliferation of Facebook groups, email chains, friends getting together and beginning to plot next steps for all the work that folks have been doing on the progressive side of the spectrum here in the U.S. What made our group unique here in D.C. is that a good number of my colleagues and friends that I now work with at Indivisible Project, they happen to have been former congressional staffers during the rise of the Tea Party. So they looked at this political moment that we're heading into this year and realized that as daunting as it is to face a party that now is taking control of all three branches of government, they are not the first to be in that position, and that, in fact, when the Obama administration took power in 2009, they had a supermajority in Congress, a bigger one than this new coalition does. He had a real mandate and not the low approval ratings that this Trump administration is bringing to the White House. And even with all that support, back in 2009, a vocal minority that called themselves the Tea Party was able to really slow down and in some cases stop the Obama agenda. And we believe that the vocal majority that we've seen out for the Women's March, the vocal majority that we saw at the airports after the first iteration of the Muslim ban, they have the power to turn the tables on this administration and use the same tactics. And that is a local defensive congressional strategy.
Yeah, that's great. And this guide put together by former congressional staffers is actually the best I've ever seen at describing how Congress works and how you can have an impact on your member of Congress. You know, I've been dealing with policy and legislation for decades, and this Indivisible Guide is the absolute most clear, reader-friendly, easy to use for people who are not generally active politically. You make it so simple on what we need to do, and yet so very effective when what you're recommending is put into practice. So thanks for helping to create that guide.
Yeah, and we really tried to focus on what we believe will be effective. You know, there are so many options right now to be a part of the resistance against the Trump agenda. And when it comes to Congress, you know, some of the actions we can take can have a much bigger impact than others. So, for example, you know, when it comes to advocating before our individual members of Congress on their home turf, in their district offices, there are some types of advocacy that are going to show them that you are putting in the work and you are activated enough to follow how this member will vote on any particular proposal, and you may be activated enough to follow them all the way to the polls at the next election. You know, and these are the kinds of actions that are going to make staffers and in turn their bosses in Congress listen. So we strongly advocate for folks to get involved, for example, in town hall protests, and not even protests, you know, town hall events, where obviously some of the topics are contentious and some of the discussion will be about resisting. But ultimately, you know, putting in the work of knowing when these events are going to happen, preparing the questions, waiting your turn in line, and then holding on firm to the microphone until you get some answers on the Trump agenda.
Right. And as we know, that was one of the most effective techniques by the Tea Party, was having very enthusiastic and vocal participation in the town hall events. Were you in Congress as a staffer during the rise of the Tea Party?
So I happened to be one of the folks on the team here that was not working in Congress. I came out of the immigrant rights movement and happened to be one of the folks coming to D.C. To try to get Congress to listen. So my perspective is actually what I witnessed within the immigrant rights conversation during the rise of the Tea Party, was to see, you know, a real shot that we had at one point to have what we were calling comprehensive immigration reform really disappear because a vocal mm-hmm. minority was showing up at town halls and getting on local news and getting on national news and calling any type of immigration compromise amnesty. And they really changed the national debate on that one particular issue. So it's something that, you know, we're very aware across our whole team here of you know, how powerful it can be to enter the conversation in that way.
Right, absolutely. And I'm so happy you've teamed up with these people from Congress who know exactly what the Tea Party did that made them so effective. Mm-hmm. And the whole Indivisible group now has really caught on. And in short order, I know there was a million downloads of this Indivisible guide. I think it's now closer to 2 million, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, a lot of folks know Google Documents. It's something that we use to collaborate and create this, the original version of this. What we didn't know is that there is a limit to how many people can be on one Google document at a time. So that original guide crashed pretty quickly, and we now have it up on a better format at indivisibleguide.com. And, yeah, the number of visitors to our website exceeded, I think, anybody's expectations. And it's not really to our credit. It's the it speaks to the amount of people out there in every part of the country that are wondering what they can do to put the mm-hmm. emergency brakes on this extreme agenda coming out of the White House.
Right. Fantastic. Now, you talked about the town hall events and having vocal participation there. Are there other elements of the Tea Party strategy that you either recommend we adopt or ones that you think are not necessary at this point in time?
Yeah, so I know some folks, you know, might get cold feet thinking about the Tea Party because, of course, especially on my side of the political spectrum, folks disagree strongly with Tea Party politics and the Tea Party view. But there were a couple of strategic choices that they made that we believe made them extremely effective in their advocacy. And one of those choices was to really focus on opposition and focus on staying on the defense and just saying no to a lot of what they opposed back in 2009. Part of why that was strategic is because they were able to keep a big tent for a much broader coalition by focusing on opposition than, say, you know, taking the time to create other alternative visions. You know, the hard reality of the next at least 2 years, at least at the federal level here in the U.S., is that progressives do not get to set the agenda. So one silver lining that we have now is that we do not have to take time to sort of decide what that agenda would be at this juncture. What we can do is unite in opposition to the Trump agenda in Congress at every turn. So that's one of the choices they made. And, of course, the other thing that they were very well known for is for keeping it local. I think it's easy, you know, when we're watching national TV, we're on Facebook, we see a lot of news about, say, Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan or these other better-known national figures. But at the end of the day, if you're not in Paul Ryan's home district, it's unlikely that your comments on Facebook are going to have any bearing on his decisions in Congress. If you are showing up at the town hall of your individual member of Congress that you and your neighbors put into office there, it's much more likely they're going to have to pay attention. And that applies to blue and red parts of the country. Remember, the Tea Party did a lot of the work within their own party by challenging Republicans who were not, in their view, true enough to their principles with primary challengers. So, you know, it's really work that we can do across the map, and we can do really, you know, wherever we happen to be in our zip code.
Yeah, that's very impressive. So that was one of the things that struck me about the Indivisible Guide is when you talked about each member of Congress, really, you know, they want to keep their job. They want to get reelected, and they need the votes to do it. And even a member of Congress who could be you know, Republican and not friendly to a progressive agenda necessarily will sit up and take notice if there's a group of citizens that's organized, that's vocal, that's showing up at the town halls, that's maybe having events and bringing the media in to cover it and getting some media attention on what they're doing. You think that's kind of a good summary of the key types of actions you're recommending as most effective for making Congress listen?
Yeah, and I would say it's not even, you know, that folks have to take our word for it anymore. We can now point to the success that individual local groups have had using that strategy. And just like you said, in Republican areas of the country as well, we saw, for example, during the last congressional recess period, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas went home and faced a very tough crowd because of some of the questions that are coming out of this repeal and run initiative by Republicans. And those were not folks from other cities. They were not internet people tuning in from other parts of the country. These were folks in Arkansas who had very real questions about how the repeal of the Affordable Care Act was going to affect their health. And they stood up, they asked all of this to Tom Cotton right there in his town hall. It made national news. And sure enough, you know, a few days within a week of this event, he changed his mind and stopped following the sort of the Trump line on that particular issue and wrote a very strong tweet to his own colleagues in Congress saying that the House bill was not ready and that that they needed to try again. So there you see a Republican getting cold feet about the Trump agenda because folks are standing up and asking the tough questions.
Yeah, that was very impressive. And also, you know, the Indivisible Guide went right to work there. I remember the very first day of this all-Republican-controlled Congress, the very first action they took was to wipe out the Office of Ethics. And there were quite a number of people disturbed about it because that, you know, there's a very limited oversight that we've got, that's a piece of it. Some of the people read the Indivisible Guide, followed the directions, you know, raised their voices, showed up at the members of Congress at their office to be very vocal about not wanting to have the Office of Ethics be destroyed. And I believe it was within 24 hours the Republican House overturned that vote. Is that right?
It was a very, very quick retreat on that particular issue, and I thought it set the tone for this Congress very early on when they tried to do that. You know, I think that their presumption was that Americans had voted and were going to leave them home alone to get away with whatever extremist agenda they've been plotting, and they were very wrong, at least on that particular case, where the attempt to gut the Congressional Ethics Office made national news. But not only that, you know, from our perspective at the Indivisible team, we were so proud to see a little delegation in Roanoke, Virginia, which is the home district of Representative Bob Goodlatte, who happened to be leading that that effort. You know, they showed up at his district office under the banner of Roanoke Indivisible and said that they were watching and that they did not think this was acceptable. And, you know, I think that type of pressure combined with, you know, the all the other calls that were going into other folks who were maybe considering supporting an initiative like that, that's the kind of action that stops initiatives like that on their way out the door.
Right, exactly. That was very impressive. And I think you're right. I think it has set the tone. And it let people know, including members of Congress, that Indivisible was here and people were using it and having an impact already. But how do these local groups form? Like, say someone goes to indivisibleguide.com and they download the description of what you can do, how to take action. How do people find each other within that congressional district?
So we have developed a new tool on the website. Right next to the guide, there is a button to take action locally, and that will lead to a map that is searchable by zip code. So wherever folks might be listening today, if they're at a computer and they go on indivisibleguide.com and look up their hometown and their zip code, they'll find that there are at least two groups in every congressional district in the country, and in some parts, many more than that. So they'll have plenty to choose from. And, you know, not every one of the groups started existing, of course, after the election. There is a long history of local progressive organizations doing the groundwork across the country, and a lot of them are on there continuing to do that work and adopting the Indivisible strategy. And those are groups that we are very happy to partner with also. So that's again, on indivisibleguide.com. And we hope that that folks will continue to find each other.
Right. And you've been out there meeting with some of these groups, right? You've been out in California and New York and Vermont. What are you seeing when you go out and meet the groups? Are they similar? Or are they very different? Or what's happening on the ground?
Yeah, the couple of times that I happen to be out of D.C. Since the election, I have had the chance to check in and see how things are going. And what I've been learning is that there is no one way that these groups are coming together. You know, when I was in San Francisco, I met a book group that had been discussing different topics and had decided to read the guide and then start going to the town halls out that way. There are among dozens of other groups that have popped up in the Bay Area. My background and roots are back in upstate New York, so that's where I've spent the most time. And over that way, I see many of the organizations that I used to go to for other types of activism, getting together and forming groups like, for example, Westchester Indivisible, where they recently hosted their own town hall and then invited Representative Elliot Engel of New York's 18th Congressional District to join them in a panel, which was a remarkable event that I had a chance to go to, because in that case, the town hall was not set up by Representative Engel. It was actually an Indivisible event where he was a guest, and they had a lot more power over what questions they could ask and what other folks they could bring on the panel to talk about how the Trump agenda is affecting New Yorkers. So just some really incredible groups coming together. Up in Vermont, I met two neighbors who had not met each other until one of them started the Indivisible group and the other signed up online, and they realized they were next door neighbors. So really incredible things happening right now for folks to come together.
That's really impressive. And you mentioned the book group in San Francisco. I think it's kind of funny. We have book groups now turning into social action groups and lobbying our members of Congress, but it's what it takes. Also up in Boston, I don't know if you saw, they had the scientists had a big demonstration up in Boston. They were calling for, you know, return of reason and scientific experiment and knowledge as a basis for some decision making. Yeah. But it's the first time I've ever seen the scientists come out like that. But you talk about, you know, San Francisco, some of the blue districts. How effective is this in the blue districts? Obviously, we need a lot of work done in the Republican congressional districts, but is it making a difference also in areas that tend to be Democratic?
Yeah, I don't think our job is done just by sending representatives to Congress that happen to be in one party, because there is such a broad range of ways that the Democratic Party could be interacting with the Trump administration. You know, there are some that have had a tendency to say they are willing to cut deals with what many people view as a xenophobic, misogynist administration. And there are those that say, on principle, categorically, they are not willing to work with them. And, you know, I think what the Indivisible movement really shows is that there's a broad grassroots support for people that are making the choice not to work with the Trump administration. So one example of that, I'll use New York because it's where I happen to be from and know better. And, you know, Representative Elliot Engel has been in Congress for 29 years, which is especially impressive to me because I happen to be 29 years old. And he, you know, I think he's seen a lot. His group really pushed him to break a tradition that he had for a long time. He used to show up early to every address of the joint session of Congress by every president to sit in the aisle and shake the president's hand. And he decided not to do that this year, in part because the local groups really pushed him not to. That was sort of a big gesture for him. It's something that made the news locally, and it's something that sort of kept the message in the media, at least in that part of the country, reminding folks that this is not politics as usual and that we're facing an existential threat from the Trump agenda. So that's just one example of how a blue district got their representative to move further against this administration. But across the board, there's so much room to stand stronger, and that's the work that's going to be happening in places like San Francisco and New York.
Right, that's fantastic. So we need it really everywhere. And what are some of the main issues that you're focusing on? And I should say, I know we have the opportunity to sign up for a weekly email to keep abreast. Once you've downloaded the Indivisible Guide, then you can sign up to get the email once a week saying what's at the top of the agenda for that week. But what are the issues that Indivisible is working on now?
Yeah, we have a tremendous team of volunteers here in D.C. that are working around the clock to analyze all of the news that's coming out of Congress and sort of prioritize and create resources on how to respond. So if you happen to go on indivisibleguide.com today, you would see that we have up-to-date materials on the attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act. We have materials to call for the release, the full release of Donald Trump's tax returns, the full investigation of his administration's ties to Russia. We have materials to talk about, you know, ways that we can continue to pressure Jeff Sessions to resign after he perjured himself in Congress. You know, it's just so many different avenues that we could be pursuing to continue to pressure this administration right now.
Right, and that's part of the issue. There's so much happening that's so bad, it's a little hard to know where to focus. And it's part of why I really appreciate Indivisible, because you lay out kind of like this week, you know, the main thing is save health care. And then you mention a few other things like the exposing and revealing what the Trump tax returns are, and that really should be done as a matter of routine for anyone at that level in public office. But it really helps when you know what's going on in D.C. You can help set priorities on what's most important for this week. And then we know also that not only is this group in this particular congressional district going to take action, but that you're connected, as you say, with groups in every congressional district across the country. So, you know, united, we're much more powerful. So I love that you provide us this vital information.
And I would even turn the credit back over to the local groups. You know, we of course, try to centralize resources and put out these coordinated calls for action. But a lot of the information and the requests are coming out of the individual groups who are looking at the news just like we are and wondering how this or that proposal will affect them. So we take their information, we do a little bit of research, we ask our friends here on the Hill, and then we put out what we hope will help people call their district offices and keep the pressure on.
That's great, and that obviously feeds into it, but how do you decide which issues to focus on every week? I hear some of it's listening to the groups, but there's so much. How do you make those decisions?
At the end of the day, it is something that, like I said, you know, it's not an agenda that we are setting. So when the congressional calendar turns over to, for example, now healthcare, we'll be right there with them, pointing out all the ways that the this alternative to the ACA will damage Americans everywhere. When they decide to turn to the budget, we'll be commenting on that. If it's immigration, we'll be putting out information on immigration. It's really something that unfortunately the new majority gets to decide in a way. But what we can promise here in D.C. is that we'll be there every step of the way to try to push back.
Fantastic. And speaking of the congressional schedule, we know how important these recesses are when members of Congress go home. Tell us, you know, why those times are so vital for the work we're doing, and when is the next one coming up?
Yeah, so we already had a trial run earlier this year with the first congressional recess, and it was a tremendous success with congressmen and women, you know, ending up on the news, on their local news across the country. The next one is coming up in April, so April 8th to the 23rd. And I should point out that actually we are in the midst of a mini recess where some members of Congress are home. So if you happen to be in that district, in those districts, that's something to do right now this week. But for most of the country, the next major recess will be April 8th to April 23rd. And that buys us a little bit of time, hopefully, to learn about the issues and start requesting that we have a seat at in the room when these events happen. And unfortunately, in some cases, we'll have to fight a little harder to make these events happen at all, because what we've seen, especially on the Republican side, are members wanting to hide and not have to face their constituents. And there's been a lot of creativity around how to address that. We have a couple of resources on that on the website, too.
That's great, and I think it's fantastic that here you are from Argentina, an immigrant, and you're here right in the heart of trying to help bring America home to herself. So thank you so much for your important work.
I mean, this administration started its whole campaign scapegoating immigrants like me and my family. So to me, it's the least I can do trying to create a future for my community that I'd like to be a part of here.
Great. And for more information, listeners, go see indivisibleguide.com. Gonzalo Martinez Davidia, thank you so much for being on the show and for all the great work you're doing.